Storie Libere presents.
From Russia's invasion of Ukraine and the subsequent destabilization of global food supply chains, to rising hunger in conflict zones such as Gaza and Myanmar, to five consecutive seasons of drought in the Horn of Africa, to sweltering heat waves in the US and Europe. We are in a world of complex crises that cannot be solved by isolated approaches. Can cooperation between governments, multilateral organizations, civil society, academia, and the private sector address them together? If so, how? And in this era of compound risks, how can we ensure that multilateral governance is fit for purpose? My name is Tin Lai Nguyen. I'm a journalist specializing in food and climate issues, a member of the Nexus 25 team, and one of your hosts. This is Reshaping Multilateralism, a podcast at the intersection of food, climate, security, and migration from the team at Nexus 25. We'll cover the latest in climate finance, multilateral disagreements, security challenges, and more, featuring experts from every corner of the globe. We will ask our guests to share their lived experiences in contexts most impacted by climate change, stories from their time working in government and international organizations, and their assessments of where leaders should go from here. But what is Nexus 25? Well, if you've been working on climate change, security, or migration for a while, you probably have come across the term Nexus. There's humanitarian development peace Nexus, there's employment environment climate Nexus, there's water, food, energy climate Nexus. You get the idea. So what Nexus issues are we talking about here? Besides, isn't the policy world already full of jargon? To discuss more, I'm joined by the three experts leading Nexus 25's work in the US and Europe. Michael Wirtz, a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and a senior advisor for North America and multilateral affairs to the Munich Security Conference. Aaron Zygorski, the director of the Center for Climate and Security and the International Military Council on Climate and Security. And last but definitely not the least, Natalie Tocci, the director of the Istituto Affari Internazionali and part-time professor at the School of Transnational Governance at the European University Institute. Thanks for joining, everybody. Michael, let me start with you first. Tell us what's a Nexus challenge and what makes them different.
Thank you, Finn. Nexus challenges are interconnected policy issues. They are overlapping and multidimensional, which means they're not limited to a single policy area. We are talking about the interconnectivity between food and food security, climate, migratory movements, and national security. So this is really a complex issue. And to a certain degree, we are living in a world where we are traversing uncharted waters. And if you put the global disorder on top of these issues, you realize that you're in a really complex and complicated situation. So let me give you one example. The climate crisis is obviously impacting the way we produce food and are impacting food systems and supply lines. At the same time, the way we produce food at this point in time is exacerbating the climate crisis. So we have to think these dynamics through in a new way. What we also try to do with Nexus 25 is to see if food security and climate security are issues that we can use as foresight instruments to better understand and anticipate foreign policy decisions. One more example, China for the last 10 years have steadily increased their food imports. So the question is, what does that mean for China's policy vis-a-vis Russia when the invasion in Ukraine is heavily affecting Chinese interests with regard to cheap food prices? Will that mean that China will be more aggressively vis-a-vis Africa, where 65% of the unused arable land is located? And what will that mean for the powerhouses of grain production, Brazil and Argentina, with regard to their China relations? So we're trying to establish a new lens through Nexus 25, and this is an exciting but also intellectually inspiring undertaking.
Thanks, Michael, for taking that on. Now let's zoom into the policy level. Aaron, you've spent over a decade in the US government, and you have lots of experience analyzing the geopolitical impacts of complex crises. So I have a three-part question for you. One, how do governments need to be thinking differently about Nexus challenges? Number two, why should policymakers and ordinary people care about this? And three, how is Nexus 25 different from so many other projects and attempts to get leaders and multilateral stakeholders to engage in joined-up thinking?
Thanks, Finn. So at the core of the Nexus 25 project is a recognition that the current multilateral system isn't fit for purpose, right? The institutions that were built yesterday are not prepared to address the Nexus problems of today, much less the problems of tomorrow, as Michael described earlier. So we don't just need to reform existing institutions, but really think critically about what we're prioritizing and what we're not. And that's at the heart of the Nexus 25 project and what makes us different than other attempts to tackle these challenges. So how will we do this, right? First, we need to break down existing silos, disincentivize bureaucratic infighting, and interrupt the status quo that's keeping the international community stuck in outdated, redundant policy approaches. Second, we need to move away from a response-oriented approach to one that's really emphasizing anticipation, risk mitigation, and systemic thinking. This is going to mean investing more in early warning systems and making sure that local communities and governments know how and when and where to use them, and then actively changing both the programming and the funding patterns as a result to make sure that these early warning systems are sustained for the long haul, right? And that's just one example of how you might tackle some of these issues. The third thing that we need to focus on is the fact that policymakers are going to need to make some really hard choices in the trade-off between short-term needs and long-term structural transformation. This is almost certainly going to mean some growing pains, right? Policymakers always struggle to look at the long term. But ultimately, it's going to be much more effective and less expensive to change things now than to stay in the cycle of emergency response. And so if the goal is to really get both policymakers and people on board, finding ways to share this message is going to be really critical and is a part of this project and this podcast.
And for, you know, explaining all of that very succinctly. Natalie, I'd like to come to you next. You've been working to drive EU foreign policy and define the future of a global Europe. Given these Nexus challenges that we've heard, how should multilateral leaders, particularly the US and the EU, be thinking differently, do you think?
Well, I think, you know, the starting observation is really asking ourselves, actually, does this matter, right? I mean, you know, often in policy debates, you know, we keep on talking about the fact that the world is increasingly fragmented, it's increasingly divided, that multilateralism is creaky, perhaps even the multilateralism is broken. And so I think, you know, the sort of starting reflection is does this actually matter? And of course, the answer, and this will come as no surprise, is yes, it does matter. And so why does it matter? I think it firstly matters because, and you know, sort of we've been talking about this already, it matters because all of the major challenges of our age are essentially and intrinsically transnational in nature. Whether we're talking about food, whether we're talking about climate, technology, demography, migration, security, all by definition are transnational in nature. Secondly, I think there is this increasing evidence about the way in which these global transnational challenges have very clear local impacts, and in particular, very clear impact on local conflict, right? And so we see the way, for instance, in the Sahel, the way in which food insecurity and climate change have been impacting on the breakdown of governance, the coup epidemic in the region, the growing level of violence in the region. We also, on the other hand, see exactly the opposite feedback loop. So we see the way in which local conflicts have a global impact. Just think about the war in Ukraine and the way in which a conflict in Europe was essentially and is essentially a global conflict because of its impact on precisely food and energy, for instance. So for all of those levels, it is absolutely clear that multilateralism is needed, but at the same time that multilateralism has to be rethought, which is exactly what Nexus 25 is all about.
Great. Thank you so much, Natalie. Now, Nexus challenges are both context-dependent and overarching. Multilateralism is filled with disagreements and long-standing bureaucratic divides, as we've just heard our speakers talk about it. So how are leaders supposed to address them? And what are people outside the foreign policy bubble supposed to make of these debates? Well, that's where Nexus 25 comes in. In our next episode, we'll bring you to the Munich Security Conference, where leaders, activists, and civil society will converge to discuss Europe's role in security and defense, new visions of the global order, the security implications of climate change, and much more. There, Michael will be speaking to regional climate activists and security experts to assess just how successful multilateral forums like the MSC are at addressing Nexus challenges like sustainable food systems. And what comes next for the future of climate security. Reshaping Multilateralism is a production of the Nexus 25 project, a joint Istituto Affari Internazionali Center for Climate and Security initiative, funded by Stiftung Marketore in Germany and produced in partnership with StoryLibre.fm. To learn more about Nexus challenges and read our latest analysis, please visit www.nexus25.org. Remember to follow us on our website, storylibre.fm, and your favorite listening app. Thank you for listening.